Hey y'all, my name is Eric. I'm the lead pastor at Emmanuel in Hooksett. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast. Our goal is to be a blessing to everyone who listens as you continue on your journey of faith. It's also our hope that you'll be encouraged to find a church to belong to so you can plug into that congregation and bless others with the gifts and experiences that God has entrusted you with. Well, I hope this podcast is a blessing to you and encourages you to get out there and be the blessing. God bless.
We're going through the series of David, A Heart for God. And that's why I specifically prayed the way I did this morning, is because my desire is that through this series we will either develop a heart for God or we would get that heart for God back. And maybe you had like a flaming heart for God when you first accepted Christ and you were just on fire for God. Like, you would do anything he wanted you to do. You didn't doubt God, right? Like, God told you to do this, you'd do it. You didn't like try to logically rationalize it and be like, I don't know, God. I'm going to think about that for, you know, a couple years. You know, we just were on fire for God. Or maybe it was later on in life. Maybe you answered a call in your life. And when you answered that call, it's like this zeal and passion grew up within you. And like, you were willing to do whatever. And you weren't ashamed to speak the name of Jesus to other people around you. You weren't ashamed to tell people about Christ. You wanted just to live for him. And nothing would stop you. But as I mentioned, sometimes over the years, as a believer in Christ, you get discouraged. You get burnt. You get bitter. You get satisfied in your walk. You get comfortable. Comfortable, I think, a lot of times is the enemy of having a heart for God. Speak to those that are being persecuted around the world that aren't comfortable, and you can see a blaze in their heart for God. But in America, we get comfortable. We lose that understanding and need for God in our lives. Have you experienced that? So whatever your situation is this morning, if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, God wants to come in and give you a new heart that desires to follow him and that has a peace and a joy that you couldn't imagine elsewhere. There's a void in your life, and Jesus wants to fill it with his love and his grace and his purpose for your life, if you will trust him. So this morning we go to, and it seems a little gloomy in the beginning, but listen, we're not going to stay in the cave forever in this sermon this morning, but we will start there. David, A Heart for God, Cave of Despair. Cave of Despair. We're in the part of David's story when now he is running and fleeing and escaping out of the hand of Saul, who is the current king, who is trying to kill him. So think about it. We think, you know, we have a president, right? And he has everything at his disposal, the military, you know, spies, whatever, like to come at us and to kill us. This was even worse because the king had like absolute power. And if he wanted just to kill you for the sake of killing you, no one's going to stop him, you know. Congress or the Senate, you know, no one's going to step in, right? Like, he can do what he wants. And so think of it. The king, all of his armies are seeking after David to destroy him. Why? Out of jealousy. David has done nothing but good for Saul, for the country of Israel. He's only done good, and yet Saul wants to kill him. And in fact, every time Saul goes to try to kill him, he's never successful. And it's the opposite. David just keeps on, you know, being blessed, if you will. The Bible says the Lord was with him. So the king that who's trying to kill him, his son Jonathan, is David's best friend. The king's daughter now is married to David. And so Saul, who's trying to get rid of David, just isn't getting a break. And so he's getting more jealous and more violent towards David. In fact, before we get into 1 Samuel chapter 22, when we talk about the cave, I want to I want to share with you what has happened that has now led him to this cave of Adullam. I'll probably say that two different ways, Adullam and Adullam. Forgive me. But I want to show you what led him to this cave. It wasn't just, okay, he escaped from Saul, now he's in the cave. There's some things that happened. And I'll just throw out some verses. I don't expect you to turn there. If you want to read them sometime, you can. But 1 Samuel 18:11, Saul tries to pin David to the wall with his spear twice. So David's there playing the music, and Saul taking a spear, and he's like, I can't stand this guy. And tries to pin him to the wall, is how the Bible describes it twice, right? Then David ended up coming back, served with the king after that, those incidents. And then Saul tries to get David killed by the Philistines. I mentioned it last week. He says, hey, Mary, I want you to marry my daughter and become my son-in-law. But he was actually trying to trick him to get him killed by the Philistines. Then 1 Samuel 19:10, Saul tries to stick David to the wall again with a spear. Right? Another instance, he's playing the lyre, and he tries to throw a spear at him and to kill him again. And then Saul tries to kill David at his house. He's with his wife, Saul's daughter. And he sent guards to his house to try to kill him in the morning when he wakes up. But he escaped through the window. And then in 1 Samuel 19:18, after that, he flees to Ramah where the prophet Samuel is. If you remember Samuel, who was God's man, who spoke God's word to the king. He goes to Samuel and he tries to talk with him, get some counsel, and Saul sends an army to go kill David with Samuel. And every time he sent someone, at the time, Samuel and David were together and they were prophesying. And so when part of Saul's army went, they ended up prophesying and they didn't end up killing David. So Saul sent more men and then they ended up prophesying. It's pretty interesting if you read it. And then Saul finally went and he ended up prophesying. And so David never got killed. That was in 1 Samuel 19:18. Then 1 Samuel 21, David goes to see Jonathan to see if he needs to leave for good. So it's right, all these things happen. And David goes back to Jonathan and says, hey, your dad's trying to kill me. And Jonathan's like, well, I don't know if he really wants to kill you. You know, we're going to have a test and see if he really wants to kill you. I would have thought by then David would be like, I'm out of here. And so he finds out, yes, Saul really does want to kill him. And then Psalm 21:1, David goes to this place called, a city called Nob, where Ahimelech the priest was, and he gets bread, and they had Goliath's sword housed there, so he gets Goliath's sword. And then 1 Samuel 21:10, David flees to the king of Gath. So, you remember a guy who was from Gath that we talked about a few weeks ago? A guy named Goliath from Gath. So he flees to the king of Gath to kind of get some help. So David must have been at a pretty low point in his life if he's going to this place, Gath, where he killed their champion, Goliath. He must have got pretty low, and so the guy got suspicious, and David, ended up pretending like he was mad and crazy. And this is where now he escapes to the cave of despair. So all that, I want you to understand where David's coming from. He didn't just like, Saul was angry at him, so he left and went to the cave. All these things were happening to Saul, to David. Saul was trying to kill him multiple times, right? To where now he's at this cave, the cave of despair. And it says this, David therefore departed from there, and there is the king of Gath, and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him, and everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented, I love how, the Bible alliterated there, gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. So we see now David is sitting in a dark, damp cave about 2 miles from where David battled Goliath. So it's kind of on the borderline. He just escaped, as we said, through multiple times trying to escape Saul, and he was now forced to the cave of Adullam. Now understand this cave The word Adullam means justice of the people, and we'll see how that would tie into play. But this cave was not like some small cave maybe you're thinking of. Like, this was like a cave where you walked in. There's like different passageways, and it opens up to different areas. And this was like a huge cave. Once you got into it, this was huge. But it was also dark and damp, and it was a cave, right? But he was forced to go to this place. So understand, not only the persecution and the stuff that he was dealing with that I mentioned when Saul's trying to kill him, but he also now has had to leave and separate from his friendship with Jonathan, right? So he's alone without his best friend. We talked about last week the blessing of godly friendship, and when it's there, it's awesome, but sometimes you do get into a situation where you have to be separated sometimes from that friendship, and David had to be separated from Jonathan because obviously he had to go hide. You know, he couldn't have Jonathan with him. And so he was separated from Jonathan. He was also separated for a little bit from his wife, right? He had to be let through a window, and he had to escape. He was also separated from his preacher, his prophet, and his counselor Samuel, who was kind of a constant, right? This is when David was anointed to now. And he was also separated from his role. Like, he was doing pretty good in the kingdom, right? He was captain over thousands. Like, David had a good role, a good job, right? He had a good position, a good title. And he was separated from all of that. So he was experiencing loss. He was experiencing separation. And it's interesting, you know, if only we could get inside the head and the heart of David, right? Wouldn't it be interesting to, like, find out what was David thinking during this time? Where was his heart? Oh, wait, we can. So there's a psalm that he wrote, right? So he wrote several psalms while he was in the cave. And this psalm, typically people put this in chronological order. I think this psalm that we're about to read in Psalm 142 was before really all these people came to him, like we read in 1 Samuel. So think about David. He's alone. He's separated from his friends, his family at this time. And he's sitting in this dark cave knowing that at any time he could have thousands of soldiers ready to take him out, right? He just has to make one mistake and he's gone. So let's read. What was David feeling? So I want to liken this to you this morning. You may not be escaping from your life, but you may be in a dark cave of despair. You may be in a cave of despair because of it could be a situation that you feel trapped in your life that you just can't get out of, right? You know, when we talk about the dark cave of despair or depression, that's like when the darkness surrounds you and you feel like there's this dark cloud hanging over you that you can't get rid of. This is how David was feeling. And so maybe you're feeling that way this morning. Maybe you have a health issue that just won't go away and you feel like you're in this dark cave of despair. Maybe you have a struggle, a stubborn habit, something that you just can't get victory over, and you feel like you're in this dark cave of despair. Maybe you're got a trial that is so difficult and it's so consistent. Like, it's not something that happens and goes away. You're just constantly dealing with a trial and a difficulty that just keeps coming up. And so you feel trapped and in this cave of despair. Or maybe even a situation in your life that you wish God would resolve, right? But he hasn't, for a reason. And so you're in this dark cave of despair. It could be financial troubles. It could be marriage troubles, relationship troubles. Whatever it is, think of yourself along with David. I want you to picture yourself there in this dark cave of despair. And if you're not in a dark cave of despair this morning, then that's great. Praise God. But you can also think of yourself as someone who could help and be a blessing to those that maybe are dealing with this dark cave of despair. Or realize that we all have different points in our lives when we're in a dark cave of despair. So what was he feeling? Let's go to Psalm 142. One of the reasons why I love David and that we can see that he has a heart for God is because he's left us these psalms that he wrote. And he expresses so real and so transparent what he's feeling and the process that he goes through when he's going through difficulties. And he shows us in the Word of God. And this is so, I believe, so helpful to us. So as David is in this cave of Adullam, and he's pondering on his life, and he's pondering on the separation and the loss that he's dealing with, and the difficulty that he's in, he pens this psalm, this prayer. And it begins, the heading is a plea for relief from persecutors, a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. Let's read it. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. Have you ever said that or thought that? I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, and you shall deal bountifully with me. We see David driven to the cave, experiencing these difficulties and hardships, but God has allowed him to be in this place for a reason. Right now, David is alone. To say he has some level of depression, whether it's situational depression because of the situations in his life, he is feeling depressed. We name this the cave of despair. Despair is really when you feel you have no hope. And this cave could certainly bring David to that place. And he's somewhat maybe on the brink of that despair and that depression. And so the first thing we see is the cry of David's heart. The cry of David's heart. I think everyone, if you're old enough, but even younger people nowadays, has dealt with some level of depression, discouragement, even sometimes despair, like there's no way out. I can't get out of this situation. I'm typically a positive type person. And so it's not like something that's like where my personality is more positive, but I have experienced pockets of, I would say, depression. Part of it is grieving. You know, grieving a lot of times and grieving for long periods of time certainly lead to depression. And I lost my mom and dad in a span of 5 years in my life when I was, you know, being pretty young, probably before I turned, I was in early 40s. So I lost both of them in a 5-year span, and it was sudden. Wasn't expected, and it went quick. And so for 5 years, I remember serving God, being involved in ministry, going through the motions. But I felt like I was in the wilderness. I felt like there was this dark cloud that I just couldn't pierce, and that my heart was, I loved God and I had a heart for God, but it was suppressed, oppressed because of grief. And I'm sure during that time, I probably didn't identify it, but I probably dealt with some, I'm sure, depression at times where I was down and I just didn't feel motivated, right? That dark cloud that gets over us sometimes in those seasons. And so I understand a little bit, not to the depth of what some people deal with, certainly, but David certainly can understand this matter of depression. What I love about David and about the Psalms is they don't sugarcoat it. Like, David's not pretending like everything's fine. Like, there's several people in the Bible that have dealt with depression and discouragement and despair even at times. But the difference here with David is David had a heart for God. And we're going to see, when you have a heart for God, meaning he has redeemed you and his spirit resides within you, no matter how low you get, there's always that spark of hope. There's always that spark of hope. And so David is in this dark cave of despair, and what does he do? Well, we see the cry of David's heart. He cries out to God. Not only did he cry out to God, the Bible says that he poured out his complaint before him. He declared before him his trouble. David was brutally honest about his feelings to God. And why shouldn't he be? God knows anyway. Doesn't God know what you're feeling? You're here this morning. God knows where your heart is at. You can't fool God, right? God is not mocked. Like, he knows your heart right now. He knows the situation. He knows where you're at in your mind and your heart with God even now. And so you can't hide it from God. We certainly hide it from each other, but you can't hide it from God. He knows, but he wants us to bring these feelings to God. David knew where to go and who to go to. He went, as the old song goes, to the rock of his salvation. He went to the stone the builders rejected. When he needed a shelter, when he needed a friend, he went to the rock, which was God. And so we see in these verses, he said, I cried out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I made my supplication. Supplication is a more intense pleading, a begging to God. So we see the dynamic here. He's crying out, and the word cry out, that phrase, if you look it up, means to cry out loud. Like, he was in that cave, probably echoing off the walls, crying out to God and begging and pleading with God. Like, what is going on, God? Like, you know my trouble. And it says he rehearses his complaint. He pours it out to God. Does God know what David's complaint is before he says it? Yeah. And some people say, well, why do I need to talk to God? He already knows. Because God wants to hear you cry out to him. Not only that, but it makes you feel better. You know, calling out, doesn't it make you feel better sometimes? Talking to a friend, like, about what's going on in your life. Anybody ever do that? Like, talk to a friend, it's good to get it out and talk to your friend. And typically that's what people go to therapists for, right? Like, you talk about it. But God is the God of the universe. We have bold access to God. He's the one that actually can do something about our complaint. So it makes perfect sense to cry out and pour out our complaint to him and declare before him our trouble. David had these feelings, these emotions, what's going on in his life, and what did he do with these feelings and these emotions? Listen, he could have drowned his feelings and emotions with alcohol, whatever alcohol they had back then. People do that today. Instead of dealing with how you're feeling with God, we drown it with alcohol and with drugs and with sex and pornography and relationships, instead of dealing with the issue with God. Because God can do something about it. David cries aloud to God. So this is a lesson for us to learn. He verbally expresses to God his feelings and his complaints and his emotions and what he's going through. Do you hold back when you pray to God, when you talk to God? Do you try to sound all, you know, all right and, you know, how you think God wants you to sound? Or do you just pour out your heart to God? God wants you to put... God's not afraid of you pouring your complaint out to him. Don't try to sound all spiritual and right. Listen, especially when your heart is the opposite, speak to God plainly. Why? Because if we're able to speak to God plainly and share our emotions, then he can really start the work of healing and guiding us. You know, I go to God sometimes and I'll pour out my heart to God. Maybe I'm stressed about something or I need wisdom in something, a real tough situation. And I'll go to God and guess what happens? Well, first of all, because of my faith in that he hears me, like when I pray to him, like I feel comforted immediately because I know it's in God's hands and God's will prevail. But also I know that God can take that and do something with it if he desires. And it brings me peace. It brings me comfort. And I can get up knowing that my God's got this. And he'll get me through whatever it is that I'm going through. And so David, he knows who to cry out to. Someone once said, God is attracted to weakness. Or another way to put it is, our weakness makes room for God's power. But if you never want to show your weakness to God, don't expect his power. The Bible says it this way, right? In Philippians, I believe, in our 1 Corinthians, he says, God is strong. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness, right? And so what I'm trying to encourage us to do is, when you're in that cave of despair, when you're down, don't try to drown it out. Don't try to take the solutions of the world to try to make you feel better. Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Because he's the one that can do something about it. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. It's actually an old hymn called Tell It to Jesus. Imagine that. Listen, God wants to hear your cry. God wants to hear the cry of your heart. He doesn't get sick of it. It says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God wants you to cast your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you.
Hey, all, thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more, please go to our website, emmanuelhooksit.com, where you'll find helpful links and resources, and where you can contact us directly. That web address again is emmanuelhooksit.com. Bless God, get out there, and be the blessing.